Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined, as always, by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Will. I wish that the haze over the state of Wisconsin was not as bad as it is. I want to get some work done outside, and Wisconsin DNR is saying limit that time outdoors today with the air quality advisory that is out through this time 2 days from now. We got this for at least 48 more hours, unless it gets extended even further than that. But glad to be with you here on the airwaves, Will, on this Tuesday afternoon.
Well, I always stay away from the outside, Luke, so that's not going to be a problem. I don't do so well with the sun. We kind of discussed that post my trip last week, that West Coast sun, it just hits a little bit different. We're also joined today by Aaron on the board and Matthew Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Gentlemen, how are you doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Hey, Will, thanks for having me on. It's always nice to be with you.
I'm doing well, but I am also, like Luke, disappointed that I can't really safely do any work outside today. The couch that I have is the worst couch I've ever seen and sat on. And so we were going to bring it out to the curb because donating it or giving it to somebody would be a crime. But it's also pretty heavy, so we're not going to do that today. Breathing heavily, all this smoke, no thanks.
Good call, Aaron.
I heard Jack Smith was looking into Aaron trying to give away that couch that was potentially going to be
those are just
committing
rumors.
Crimes against humanity.
Baseless accusation. Don't listen to the recording.
Jeez. Folks, well, if you want to join in on Town Call, 844-967-2789. If you've got any questions for Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now's the time to share them. We got Matt. Want to thank you, Matt, for all the contributions that you've had to Civic Media, Dueling Tangents, and Town Call. You're gonna be retiring at the end of this week, so this is one of the final appearances we're going to have you in this official capacity. And the next time we'll have you on the show, it's going to be for, you know, poker tips and bird watching updates.
Yeah, I'm retiring on Friday at noon. I turn into a pumpkin. So, you know, it's been a good ride. It's been 43 years doing this work in the progressive pro-democracy nonprofit sector. I've enjoyed it quite a lot. I've really enjoyed the last 8.5 years at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I've loved coming on Civic Media and all the shows you all are doing. And I've loved working with all the great activists in the progressive nonprofit sector, pro-democracy nonprofit sector that we have here in Wisconsin. It's one of the bright lights for Wisconsin, I think.
So, folks, this is one of the last opportunities. We got an open phone line, 844-967-2789. If you've got a question for Matt Rothschild in any vein of democracy, good governance, anything like that, 844-967-2789.
Or poker,
I'm told. Well, yeah, we'll save those because then we can invite him back. We've got an excuse for the poker tips later. So we'll reserve that for a later edition of Town Call. But Matt, the Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting today to take up or possibly table. We don't know what the meeting is going to all entail yet, but the topic of conversation is whether or not to reappoint the current administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, to another 4-year term. Her term also set to expire on Friday. I don't know if it's a noon deadline for her, but the conversation now before the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners is whether or not to reappoint Megan Wolf to the 4-year term. Your thoughts on the process and the conversations that have been going around this appointment?
You know, Megan Wolf has been a tremendous public servant here in Wisconsin. She's been shamelessly scapegoated by Republicans and election deniers. She has simply been carrying out the work of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She doesn't make policy for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's the 6 commissioners there that make the policy, and she executes that policy. And she's done an admirable job in doing that. She is well respected nationally. She heads up a group of election administrators nationally. They admire the work that she has done, as I do. And so this idea that she's been so vilified, and sometimes vilified in a sexist manner by Michael Gableman, for instance, it's just been kind of grotesque to watch, frankly. And I hope that the Wisconsin Elections Commission will vote to reappoint her this afternoon. And I hope that the Senate will approve her. And if they don't approve her, I hope they at least don't even take a vote on her and let her stay on through the election in 2024 so we have some continuity. It would be hard to get someone, I think impossible to get someone as qualified as she is, but it'll be hard to get anyone who's just, you know, adequately qualified to carry on that job, you know, to come on real fast here within, you know, a year and just a couple of months before the next big election and get up and running and up to speed. That's tough. That's a tough thing to do. And she's done this job real well. Why get rid of her right now before a big election? That makes no sense.
Oh, I got a note too, Matt. You touched on how respected she is nationally. She has served as the president of a number of nationally recognized election organizations, including the National Association of State Election Directors and the Electronic Registration Information Center. This is not some, you know, small-time state individual that just was picked out of a hat, as you noted. This is someone that has widespread recognition as someone who is really, really good at her job.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a nationally recognized leader in election administration. I'm sure she could get a job in many different states heading up their election administration. She's chosen to stay here in Wisconsin despite all the calumny that's been falling upon her shoulders over the last couple years. And so my hat's off for her for enduring that crap and still doing her job and clearing up a lot of falsehoods and lies that are coming from the Trump camp about what happens in our elections. You know, she's well respected by people like Kathy Bernier, the former state Republican senator, who is a former clerk herself, who admires the work that Kathy Bernier that she has done at the Wisconsin Elections Administration, Megan Wolf. And so Megan Wolf deserves to be reappointed. We'll see whether the hardcore Republicans in the Senate and the Republican appointees of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, whether they still have an appetite for this kind of a disgraceful reputation slurring and denialism that they've been engaging in, like Bob Spindell has been, for years now. And I hope they don't have an appetite for it anymore. I think the election, the re-election of Governor Evers and the election of Justice-elect Protasiewicz may have curbed their appetite for this kind of slander.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if the ramblings around the 2020 election, because really that's where a lot of the criticism of Administrator Wolf is
the entirety of the criticism.
Yeah, there were nobody was contesting the 2022 results. There was nobody contesting the re-election of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to a 6-year term. The margin in the election of re-election of Tony Evers over Tim Michaels, very little doubts there. All centers around the 2020 election, and so it will be interesting to see if the members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission will put to bed those doubts and relitigation. It's been audited. It's been reviewed by in my counts, probably one of the most reviewed elections in all of the history of our country, not just the state of Wisconsin.
Six ways to Sunday it's been reviewed. I mean, you know, this has been verified, verified, audited, recounted. I mean, there's nothing more you can do to prove that this was a legitimate election in November 2020. And the idea that came from Gableman and came from Branjan, who headed up the Assembly Committee on Elections until finally Robin Voss had enough of her, too. You know, they're just ridiculous and totally without merit. And I think even Bob Spindell probably knows that in his heart of hearts, if he's got one. And so there's no legitimate reason not to reappoint Megan Wolf. And I sure hope they do that.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if those doubts and the relitigating of 2020 will be put to bed with the vote today, or if this is going to be something that the commissioners will continue to deadlock. But Matt, I think it's important to point out there has been a history of officials that are capable, like Megan Wolf here in Wisconsin, leading up our elections, that have chosen a different path than staying and asking to be reappointed. Andrea Palm was the designee for the Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. She was appointed with she was acclaimed for one of the best vaccine rollouts. Wisconsin was above its neighbors and national counterparts when it came to implementing the COVID-19 vaccine and getting the state to reopen amid the pandemic. And rather than sit and wait for appointment to head up the Department of Health Services, she chose to leave. She is now the number two at the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration. So is it a concern of yours that if this is a continued attitude that we have for these officials that are clearly qualified, that clearly credentialed to be put through the ringer when it comes to appointments to these positions, do you fear that we're going to lose more institutional knowledge if Megan Wolf is used as another example to deny that experience in a position here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that the commissioners are going to find someone more qualified than Megan Wolf for this job. That's why they should reappoint her. And it's also why, you know, I give her props for staying on. She could have left. She could have gotten probably any job in America doing election administration for any state that had an opening in that slot. And she, maybe because she's stubborn in a good way, or maybe she felt she had a duty to make sure that Wisconsin's election laws were carried out properly and that the wishes of the Wisconsin Elections Commission were taken seriously and that she would, you know, execute those wishes. That's her job. They make the policy. She executes it. She's done an incredible job. I think someone with less of a backbone would have left, you know, a couple years ago. But I give her credit for having a stiff background, backbone, and for doing her job so well. So we'll see this afternoon whether she gets another term from the commissioners, and then we'll see later on whether the Republicans in the Senate vote to confirm her. But she certainly deserves another term.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We're joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, working for good governance here in the state of Wisconsin.
For a few more days.
For a couple more days. So while we got him, if you've got some questions on elections, on democracy here in Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. We will take those questions. And Will, it's important to, we've also got some breaking news that we're going to get a chance to talk to Matt about when it comes to the state of future updates on Wisconsin elections as well. The U.S. Supreme Court earlier today rejecting a pretty far outlandish opinion of the independent state legislature theory. I appreciate that, Matt. That the legislature can do whatever it wants when it comes to elections. Not the case. The Roberts opinion today throwing out that theory and potentially leaving the groundwork for a at least challenge to the current constitutionality, the validity of the state maps here in Wisconsin. So we're going to have that conversation as well. If you've got a call or if you've got a question, call in. It's a Town Call, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We're going to continue the conversation when we get back.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and we're talking Wisconsin Election Commission. Currently, to finish the conversation that we had a little bit before the break, something I wanted to just dive into regarding Megan Wolf. Matt, you noted how respected she is nationally. We showed the organizations that she's led, and we've kind of touched on that it's essentially the people who support democracy against the people who don't support democracy. This isn't really a right versus left. There have been a number of elected conservative officials who have said, you know, Megan Wolf was unanimously supported in 2018. She's doing an excellent job. It appears to only be a very small handful of Donald Trump supporting far-right Republican officials who are backing this. And I wanted to note a story that actually we covered on Town Call a few weeks ago But it goes back to an AP article from February of 2022. So this was over a year ago when a bipartisan group of prominent Wisconsin business leaders voiced aggressive support for Megan Wolf. The Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy Coalition sent letters offering, quote, sincere gratitude and full support to Wolf. This is such a critical issue, said Tom Florsheim, the chairman and CEO of Milwaukee-based Waco Group and a signer of the letter. For me, I'm publicly stepping up for really the first time, maybe ever, because I see this as so critical in terms of what's happening here, threatening democracy. There was a number of Republicans and Democrats, including Austin Ramirez, the CEO of Husco, and Paul Sweeney, a partner at PS Capital Partners, who signed this letter. Other signers included Milwaukee Bucks and Pfizer Forum president Peter Fangen, and the former president and CEO of Harley-Davidson.
Excuse me? I forget how to pronounce Peter's last name. I was chiming in with the correction. I think I got it wrong myself. So,
but these are real leaders in the business community here in Wisconsin, and titans exactly. in the Milwaukee business community. And they're, you know, they were stepping out for the first time politically. A lot of business people don't like to step out politically. Sticking their necks out for Megan Wolf, recognizing what a leader she has been and efficiently and very professionally running the staff over there at the Wisconsin Elections Commission as the administrator, and how well she's been doing following the instructions that the commissioners have given her, because they're the ones who set the policy. She doesn't set policy. She just executes the policy that they set. So it is quite impressive, Will, you're right, that these business people in the Milwaukee area especially, but across the state, bipartisan group, came out in support of Megan Wolf, and I'm sure they're still supporting her now and want the Wisconsin Elections Commission this afternoon to give Megan Wolf another term.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you would like to ask Matt Rothschild a question on elections and democracy, or if you just want to contribute to the conversation, 844-967-2789. Up first this Tuesday afternoon, we got Mike in Sheboygan calling in. Mike, what's on your mind today?
The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but thanks to Matt Rothschild, we at least look forward to the trip. Matt, you would take the smokiest day of the year to tell us you're leaving, but congratulations on your early retirement. It's been a blessing listening to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Always an education, because you explain things so well. I dragged my 96-year-old mom to Beaver Dam in Madison last year just so we could see you live, and we didn't regret it. She left before Crudy and Dom hit the bar, so don't worry.
That's a good thing.
I don't think you're going to be moving on. I'm hoping you're just moving forward and not going to rust, because I think you'll have more time to fight the good fight on all of the civic media airwaves. I hope that's going to be the result. And one final comment, please let Megan Wolf know, I think I speak on behalf of many of us that aren't as close to it as you are, she's amazing, and no matter what happens today, please stick with it, because I think the upwelling of support for her has not yet manifested itself. I think it's just now beginning to come out there, and no matter what happens today, I think as the story becomes more known, as well as nationally, because it would be a travesty if we did lose her, she might be surprised just how deep her support runs out here in La La Land. Speaking of that, our air quality today, quite similar to L.A. on a smog day back in the early 70s. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. I totally agree with you on the wellspring of support there is out there in Wisconsin for Megan Wolf. I know there are just tons of people who've been following her career, maybe over at the League of Women Voters. I know all the folks there are big supporters of Megan Wolf, and they've got chapters all over the state with great activists who know what great work she's been doing. And also every clerk in the 1,850 communities across Wisconsin knows what great work Megan Wolf has been doing. And so all the more reason for the Wisconsin Elections Commission today at their meeting at 3:00 to reappoint Megan Wolf.
Folks, that's Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you've got a question for him or would like to contribute to the conversation, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Up next, we got Eric and Tosa calling in. Eric, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi. Hi. Just wanted to say, first of all, I guess congratulations to Mr. Rothschild on your pending retirement.
Thank you.
Upcoming retirement. My father... last year had to get sick to retire, But he's living his best life, you know. So enjoy it.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And this is kind of why I want to make sure and call. You know, I'm sure you'll be back on in future dates, but I wanted to ask a question. Are you pretty familiar with court issues as well as everything else in democracy?
Well, I try to follow
them.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, okay. But I am the grandson and son and brother of a bunch of lawyers, so.
Okay.
I'm fluent.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as far as, you know, with I believe it's in August, Justice Protasiewicz gets appointed.
August 1st.
How do you look, you know, how do you see the state docket, you know, looking in the next year and then going forward? Because we've seen how money has come in and it's been laid bare, how it's come into the federal courts. And so, to be honest, I would expect, or do you expect, I should say, like big money progressive groups, you know, financing cases moving up as far as the gerrymandered maps or the, you know, our abortion ban that was passed before women could vote? And if there are any other types of cases we might not be thinking about that will surface because of a progressive-leaning Supreme Court in the next few years.
Well,
and lastly, I'd just like to say thank goodness the Supreme Court, except for the three, you know, fascists, they saved the, you know, free and fair elections today. So kudos to them, I guess. Thank goodness.
Well, thanks, Eric. You know, money in our court races is a problem. It's a bipartisan problem. It's a problem on both sides, and I wish there was less money. And we got to do something about campaign finance reform, and Senator Larson down in Milwaukee is going to introduce a package soon, which he's introduced in past sessions.
Guest of the show yesterday, Matt.
Yeah, Senator I saw Chris that. Larson. Saw that. That would take some of the real problems out and make Wisconsin politics a lot cleaner and a lot more transparent. I doubt it'll pass because there are not a lot of Republicans who want to see a change in campaign finance. They may want to now, though, after all the success that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has had in raising big money. But as to the other part of your question, Eric, yes, I think with Justice-elect Protasiewicz coming on the bench on August 1st, I think there will be a sea change up there at the high court in Wisconsin. I think we'll quickly see a gerrymandering case get up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I believe strongly that the new composition of the Wisconsin Supreme Court will throw out the old maps, and we'll get fair maps here in Wisconsin pretty quick. I also think that they will throw out the 1849 law banning abortion and follow Josh Call's lead here in saying that there's been subsequent laws passed that render that ancient and archaic law kind of moot at this point. So those are two good things. I think there may be challenges to Act 10 and some of the other Walker-era decisions that were so bad, maybe a challenge to the ban on drop boxes. So I think there'll be a lot of good things coming out of this newly constituted Wisconsin Supreme Court. That was one of the great things that happened in the last year of the election of Protasiewicz.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Drop boxes, essentially, I think the previous ruling was that they could be legal if the legislature acted on it and authorized them. So that's the big holdup there. But I believe
a follow-up question for you too, Matt. Do you think the new maps will be implemented by November of 2024?
Well, I think it's possible. It depends just how fast this court case, which I imagine will be filed on the afternoon of August 1st or the morning August 2nd, how fast that can go through either the regular court system here in Wisconsin or whether it'll jump straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then how fast they could rule. I think it may jump straight up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then they'd have to, you know, move quickly. But they've moved quickly before on redistricting cases. So I do hope there'll be new maps by 2024. Look, there was a panel of federal district court judges here in Wisconsin that ruled in 2015 that no one in Wisconsin should have to endure another election under the rigged maps then. We've endured a lot of elections since then under the rigged maps of 2011 and now under the even worse rigged maps of 2021, so we shouldn't have to endure anymore, certainly not in 2024.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you've got a question for Matt Rothschild, our guest this hour, give us a call, send us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers, he's William Walter, and you can also, you know, follow the show online. As Will alluded to, our guest yesterday, Senator Chris Larson. You can check out the podcast. We posted it to our social accounts on Facebook and Twitter. Check out Town Call on Facebook and Twitter. Town Call WI is the handle there. Up next, this Tuesday afternoon, we got Luann calling in from Hales Corners. Luann, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to ask Matt a question, and thank you, Matt, for all your years there at the Democracy Campaign, and I'm looking forward to where you're going next, because I agree with the previous callers that you just got to keep at it. So we all do.
Thanks, Luann.
Okay, here's my question. It was around campaign finance. I ran last time against Bob Donovan, and there were a lot of negative mailers that came out from different organizations, right? I'm guessing these are all PACs, and I just ignored them during the campaign. But when it got done, I wanted to look into that to see who are these groups, who's doing all this fear-mongering stuff. And so I would go in, and you can look up their 990 forms and find out where they're at. Sometimes you can just Google their address, and there's nothing there. You know, it's an empty building. But anyway, so I chased down one of them, and I think it's Wisconsin Jobs First or something. And it turned out that the executive director was a woman from Madison. She pays herself a pretty good sum. But there was also the president or something, and it was a guy from Brookfield. And he's on the city council there. So I chased him down. I'm like, hey, can we talk about what you did during my campaign? He acted like he didn't even know me. And then he did finally meet with me. And so, but in the process of, and I showed him the ads, he said he hadn't seen them. I said, I don't think this negative stuff is healthy. But what really concerned me was the amount of money going back and forth from these organizations. And you can look that all up on, you know, their 990 forms. So there was also a payment to a Michelle Lichens Voss for like $70,000 for fundraising. So then you could trace this particular organization that ran all these negative ads against you right back to Robin Voss, because that's his wife. So when you talk about campaign finance reform, does it have anything to do with the way this money is flowing in like that? And going out?
Yeah, Luann. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for running against Bob Donovan, too, and for running a high-class campaign. But you're right about this money. It's disgusting that they can hide where the money is coming from, at least until the election's over. And it's really kind of sleazy when you track it back to someone like Michelle Lichens Voss, and you can tell that money is coming from, you know, the leaders of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And so what we need to do is have much more transparency. We need to have much tighter limits on how much money can be spent by the outside groups. We need disclosure of their donors. And we got to just level the playing field here.
Yeah, because it's not. And I don't think we should give up that there's nothing we can do.
Oh, no, never give up.
I still intend to pursue this. There were other groups, and then I looked into it a little bit when Janet Protasiewicz ran. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same. They rename the groups, but, we can track this. The question is then, what do we do about it? So is Chris Larson's introducing bills that will help this at all?
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
we'll cover that question, Luann, right after the break. We're joined by Matt Rothschild and with the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you have a call for Matt, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today we're talking with Matt Rothschild, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And I want to go right back to the phone lines. Luann, I rudely cut you off of the excellent question you were asking. Unfortunately, we had the commercial break. So please, if you would, rephrase your question for Matt.
If the legislation... that Chris Larson is introducing can regulate where this money is coming from? Is it on the federal level that we really have to approach this kind of PAC money in the, you know, the committees that they're forming? What level of government do we need to get involved in this to stop it? And I want to also clarify, the guy that I talked to on the city council in Brookfield, his name was Bob Redden, because there's a lot of people on that I didn't want you thinking which one might be the one that was, you know, was president, or he was executive director of this. I think it was Jobs First Wisconsin, something like that. But anyway, yeah. So where, how do we, what level of, you know, where do we start with this?
Yeah, Luann, great question. And I think the place to start is, there are two places to start. One is in Wisconsin. We need to change our Wisconsin campaign finance law. We need to throw out the rewrite, the drastic and horrible rewrite that the Republicans did in 2015, which doubled the amount of money that rich people could give, allowed corporations for the first time in 100 years to give to the political parties, and tore down the ceiling on what individuals could give to the political parties, and then let the political parties then shovel that money back to the candidates, which made a joke of any limit there is on individual donations. So we need to back the package that Senator Larson is going to submit shortly in the Capitol in the next few weeks. But nationally, the fundamental solution is to amend the U.S. Constitution and to proclaim once and for all that, you know what, corporations actually aren't persons and money actually isn't speech. And we've got to overturn about 140 years of bad U.S. Supreme Court decisions on those two false equations so that we as citizens of this country can have an equal playing field in elections. So we're supposed to have one person, one vote. We do on election day, but as far as having an equal say as to who gets elected, what laws are passed, and what policies are pursued, I'm sure every single person listening to this program, Luann, understands that we don't, that the super rich and the corporations have a much bigger say than you and I and all the other listeners have. And that's just wrong in a democracy.
That's Matt Rothschild.
Well, I do want to say,
go ahead, Luann.
In the meantime, calling up these people and having a conversation with them is a step. It's something.
Yeah, and I applaud you for doing that, too.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, William and Luke. Nice to talk with you all.
We appreciate the phone call, Luann. Folks, you can be like Luann. Give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789, here on Town Call. We are joined this hour by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, executive director for a few more days, Matt. And one of the aspects that's going to be taken up this week, besides the Wisconsin Elections Commission vote today, is, it sounds like, according to reporting over at the Associated Press, Scott Bauer, the Assembly is going to take up the full budget tomorrow. The State Senate expecting to take up the full budget on Thursday. And as of right now, doesn't seem like there's going to be a whole lot of changes. Everybody's talking what the Joint Finance Committee put forth is going to be what the full Assembly and full Senate are going to vote on. Question for you, and when it comes to representative democracy and how a budget the size, roughly right around $100 billion, I believe, the state's budget over the next 2 years, how is it that only 16 members of the state legislature get the very powerful responsibility of determining what goes in or what doesn't go in to our state's two-year budget?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy way to do a budget with a powerful Joint Finance Committee, you know, basically telling everybody else what's going to be in it. But let's not be naive about it either. The Republicans anyway on the Joint Finance Committee that have the majority are doing what the leaders of the Republicans in the legislature, that's Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, want them to do. And so, you know, given huge tax breaks to the rich, that's bread and butter Republican Party goal. And so they're giving, you know, anyone who's making over $300,000 about a $2,150 tax break, whereas people who are making, you know, $30,000 are getting $15. You know, don't spend it all in one place. So that's what they're doing here. And that's one of the reasons Governor Evers said he was going to veto the budget if they had all these tax breaks for the rich. They do. I hope Governor Evers will veto that budget. And also because of the slashing of funding for the University of Wisconsin system because of Voss's hatred of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, they talk about trying to attract young people to Wisconsin, you know, get rid of diversity, equity, inclusion, and start being racist out loud all the time like Voss is with his campaign against this. That's no way to attract young people here. So I'm waiting to see what the governor does.
The Megan Wolf story too, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a young, talented professional in the state right here, right now, and they're trying to chase her out as a scapegoat. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, how do we attract young talent and how do we get people to stay in the state of Wisconsin? And then out of the other side of your mouth, you're quite literally trying to chase an incredibly talented individual out of their position.
Yeah, with total nonsense and election denialism and irrationalism and sexism, and that's no way to get young people to say either to come to Wisconsin or for the folks who are here and go to the UW or any of the other colleges and universities in the state to stay around. I mean, who wants to stay around if you're a decent person with a liberal perspective? And you see how good people like Megan Wolf are treated. Or if you see this campaign against diversity that Robin Voss is leading up, you know, he's kind of a junior DeSantis right now. I mean, you know, who wants to be here for that?
Yeah. And one of the other things Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has done a terrific job of tracking is, as you've alluded to, the money in politics. One of those top spending issues here in the state of Wisconsin is when it comes to private schools and the expansion of private voucher programs here in the state of Wisconsin. That not in the budget talks. So already a part of the shared revenue compromise that was signed into law earlier this month by Governor Evers.
And a terrible compromise, by the way.
That deal struck between Evers and legislative Republicans. What can you tell us? We only got about 90 seconds left of today's show. The updates about what that voucher expansion is going to mean for the state.
Well, it's a terrible drain on public schools, and it's a reward to three of the most right-wing groups in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the big business lobby, which has spent $37 million since 2010 to elect Republicans, Americans for Prosperity, the Koch-funded group, which has spent $21 million, and the American Federation of Children, Betsy DeVos's group, $68 million from three groups alone. That's why the voucher school spending is going up, because the people, the groups that fund the Republicans want it to happen.
Matt Rothschild.
And remember, it's not groups. It's literally, you know, two or three. Well, it is groups, but at the top of these groups, it's the same two or three people that are funding a lot of these expenditures throughout the state.
Yeah, the Kochs, DeVos, you name them.
Yeah. Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Really appreciate you joining us here, taking some time out of your final week in the role.
Last week, baby.
Thank you so much, folks. You've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Town Call at 12:15. Talk to you then.
Take it easy, party people.